Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Gigantic Pop. Hey, it is September 26, 2024. Gigantic Pop. Our thoughts and prayers with the people of Florida who are bracing right now for some storms heading their way. Matt Morgan is out doing his best to protect and prepare the citizens of Longwood. You've got me and Raj Geary together again, just the two of us. Starting off the show, Raj, you got like some exclusive news. You got some stuff going on.
Yeah. I posted it this morning on my Twitter or my X, whatever you want to call it. But Malachi Black's AEW contract is coming up shortly. I'm hearing early 2025, so early next year. And yeah, AEW is obviously interested in re-signing him. They have shown that they don't want to lose anyone to WWE. I think after the Cody Rhodes departure, they don't want to lose any names that could move numbers. So, so his contract is coming up. I'm sure I've heard that WWE is obviously very interested in bringing him back. I think they have been interested since Triple H took over. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. What do you think about the ping-ponging, the back and forth, this idea that it's like, oh, we left WWE because we weren't happy. I mean, this happened a lot during the Monday Night Wars, I feel like. It's interesting how past is future, as scholars might say.
Well, yeah, we never really got to see Malachi Black in WWE under, his NXT vision. He was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And now you got Triple H, the one who really, was behind him in NXT in charge. So, if you were to look at Triple H, Vince McMahon, and Tony Khan, who would you say booked Malachi Black the best?
Yeah, tough call. I think that this is the problem, is that NXT is so different. Mm-hmm. Than the main roster. So if he gets the NXT treatment back in WWE, maybe that could be good for him.
Yeah. And we'll see. He's had a lot of start and stops under the Vince regime. It seemed like he would be, interested in pushing him for a few weeks. And this was Vince's case with a lot of people, kind of everyone. Yeah. And we'll see. And look, AEW, Malachi is someone who could probably move numbers a little bit if he were to go to WWE, and Tony Khan obviously does not want that. He's been spending big money to retain any talent that he thinks could move numbers. Swerve, obviously, the most recent. There's been others, with the Elite. Tony is spending the big bucks to make sure the guys stay. So I could see it. It's not a given that he'd go to WWE. If I'm AEW, I do what I can to retain him. If I'm WWE, he is someone that's unique, a cool character. So I'd definitely be interested in someone like that.
Yeah. But where else would he go? I mean, it's AEW or WWE. He's not going to MLW or Ring of Honor, or not Ring of Honor, TNA.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, but that would be my guess, is those two. Yeah.
I mean, have we had a high profile? I guess, but here's my question. Has anyone that could work for AEW or WWE that has the possibility of working for either? And we haven't seen anyone yet be like, I'm betting on myself and going out there and doing indie dates. I mean, I feel like you kind of want to work for one of those two companies.
Probably Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth. I don't know if AEW is interested in him. I wouldn't see why not. He's a hard worker. He's really appreciated backstage. So I wouldn't see why AEW wouldn't want him unless his price tag would be too high. So he would be the one. There's Ali, Mustafa Ali. I'm sure at some point AEW would be happy to have him.
Do you think it was a money thing for Dolph, though?
I have no idea. My guess, I could see Dolph, he's been on the road for so long with that old WWE schedule, which is changing greatly next year.
Yeah.
But it actually changed greatly this year and has been changing over the years, but I could see him just wanting to not work that many dates, take it easy for a bit. And then when it's time to rev up, then, sign with someone where he could do more dates. But I think right now he's just having a good time. He's got New Japan Impact, and I think he's just having fun right now. And that's just my guess. I don't know if AEW ever even made an offer to him or Ali, but they seem like the kinds of talents that AEW would be interested in.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that with WWE cutting back live dates, Raj, you cover the financial markets, and people talk about the reckoning that is coming in the financial markets is two things: one, credit card debt, and commercial real estate. Yeah. Too much credit card debt, too much unused commercial real estate. In WWE and professional wrestling, the reckoning that's coming, if WWE is not supporting the live event calendar that they have been previously, there is no reason for them to have the roster size that they have. And I do feel in 2025, when they need to make stock price boost on the TKO stock, that'll be a pretty good way to adjust the balance sheet, and so that they're serious about being good financial stewards of shareholder money.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, just because it's not like the people on the live events are people that aren't being used on TV.
I mean, there's a lot of people signed to that company that are not being used on TV, with the argument
not being used at live events either.
Well, but they would have been previously. There would have been a school of thought that, hey, if we're running two tours, we got to have these guys available for something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, in general, usually the live events is a continuation of stuff on TV and people practicing their TV matches, upcoming TV matches at the live events. So, the live events, it's funny because they've been doing their best live event business in years, in decades.
By doing fewer.
And also just by being hotter. But it's kind of one of those things, when you're making millions of dollars on a PLE, right? With site fees and the gate and how much they're getting in TV rights, and you're making $100,000 profit for a live event, you could see why they're like, a corporation where you're not just looking at the profit. You're not just saying, oh, this is a profitable thing. You're looking at the profit margin. This is making the profit margin less because it's less profitable than other areas of our business. So I get wanting to do it, but at the same time, you look at guys like CM Punk, who just came back from an injury. He's not able to get the reps in. You don't want to really waste might be a strong word, but you don't want to use his matches on NXT. You'd want to do it at a live event, for him to work off the ring rust. When people come up from NXT, they can be a little awkward at the beginning, even though they try to make the NXT environment similar to the main roster. So it does help them to work in front of a crowd, in front of a main roster crowd, to kind of get the reps in a little bit, to gain more experience. So there are going to be some downsides to not having those live events. And it, by all accounts, it's going to be very few next year. They said 150 total events. You take out Raw, SmackDown, NXT, that's, and PLEs, that's basically 150 right there. So it looks like international tours and maybe, some live events thrown in, like during Christmas and things like that.
The best time, if you're going to make your roster work, why not do it over the holidays?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll say this about you, Raj. You know, for the crap that I've given you, I always appreciated when you would just say, it's Christmas and New Year's, let's not do the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I was usually the only one working on Christmas the site. I was posting away. Site had a little cameo in the new Vince McMahon documentary.
Or did it now?
I'll still pop when I see Wrestling Inc. here and there, even though I have no connection with it now, but still, I'm like, yes, cool. That's cool.
I'm only two episodes in to the Vince documentary, and I watched it begrudgingly. I mean, you know my attitude on this. Like, oh, I don't want to watch this. I saw all the disclaimers and everything. And then I sat down and said, you know what? I'm going to just admit to myself that I can't look away, and I need to watch this. And then it was like, this is some real greatest hit shit going on here, just in terms of, if you've watched any documentary about WWE, if you watch the Monday Night Wars, if you've even barely paid attention to stuff Raj and other people have been covering for decades, you know all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, especially the first four episodes were kind of like a mishmash of, you know, other documentaries.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I watch a Netflix doc, you know, like I watch football, right? I'm a football NFL fan. I don't watch any college football, or hardly any. I watch CU here and there. So when I watch a documentary on Netflix on an NFL team or a college football team, you want them to, you know, really dumb it down so someone who doesn't follow the sport or is not a hardcore fan can enjoy the series. And I felt like that's what they did here. And I felt like they did a good job in making a documentary that's easily watchable by a regular person that's not a hardcore wrestling fan. It would be stupid for them to create a documentary that's for hardcore fans. There's just such a, you know, there's a limited market, as opposed to there's probably going to be tens of millions of people watching this. And so, did think, and Glenn, you've watched the first two so far?
First two.
And Matt, you know, we're hoping everything goes okay with what's going on in Florida right now. He's seen all of them. So we want to do a deeper dive into these. Hopefully, Glenn, you could
sure. Watch them all. I'm sure, I started playing Fortnite 15 minutes into the first one. I was like, I need to be doing something else. This is not capturing my full attention. I need to have it. But by the way, documentary filmmakers, why would you open with the quote of him being like, well, I could tell you some stories. I'm not going to tell you the real story. And it's just like, you're just kind of setting up that this is going to be very much through the prism of what Vince wants you to know. And they do a modestly okay job of contradicting him at times. Tony Atlas is the superstar breakout of this documentary, at least the first two episodes.
And you go farther along and they do more of that.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it kind of, I would hope, if you've ever seen, anyone here has ever seen Jersey Boys, I would kind of like they would pull the same thing and like let Vince rattle for 2 hours and then be like, oh yeah, that's not the real story. And then tell you everything, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I would hope for, that they would, not, I mean, it's just disappointing. I mean, I feel like there was nothing really all that revelatory, at least in the first two episodes.
The thing I thought that was disappointing was it was all surface stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like towards the later episodes, like episode 5, I thought was one of the more interesting ones because it's talking about the family dynamic. And you see like backstage footage of Vince and Shane kind of in heated discussion. They're kind of talking about Succession. But they never really ask, you know, like Triple H or Stephanie McMahon, who were interviewed with the series, or at least it's not on camera. They're not like, did you guys think Shane was going to take over? And or ask Shane. So when you saw Triple H and Stephanie kind of be put in that role, what were your thoughts? You know, kind of getting more into the weeds than what's already out there. And yeah. I felt like they missed a big opportunity with that. There was another thing where they were doing the whole arguing over 93,000 fans.
Yeah.
And they never asked Vince. Like, well, what about the reported 78,000? Why wouldn't you ask Vince McMahon about that? And I felt like when they're talking about the sale, again, it's all surface stuff. It's all stuff that was in, you know, that you could read in different articles. Why not ask him, like, who else did you talk to? How close were you going with someone else? Like, what made you decide to do the merger with TKO? Did the, you know, what made, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm forgetting if the interviews with Vince were done after his retirement. I think they were all done before, so they couldn't have asked him that.
Yeah.
But they could have asked other people.
Sure. And that's part of it too. It's that, they give that just coming like, oh, the majority of this was all done before the allegations came to light and whatnot. It just,
right. Well, it was supposed to be released like years ago.
I know, but it's kind of like, sometimes you have to go back to the drawing board. If you're doing a documentary and new material comes to light, it's okay to, I mean, and by the way, when they were like, this is 100 hours of interviews, given the subject matter and wrestling and everything, 100 hours ain't that much. It's not like they, it's not, this wasn't Hoop Dreams. They didn't spend 4 years embedded or anything, you know? I don't know.
And they had access to all the libraries. And there were times when you're watching some of the interviews, like with Cody and Cena, where it looks like the same backdrop and everything as other interviews they've done in the past. So I didn't know if they repurposed old interview footage or these were actual new interviews. You know,
I would,
obviously the Ben stuff was all Netflix, but you know, the other stuff, I wasn't, a lot of it looked very familiar as far as the setting.
This would be a great SNL sketch that would only appeal to wrestling fans, but I would love to see this, the sketch of what a WWE interview looks like. And it's like, and now could you give us your thoughts on Jake the Snake? In the future, we might do something about the Hardy Boys. Can you just ramble? Reaganomics perspectives? We might need it in the future at some point. Like, it just, I feel like they just batch get them saying all this shit and then figure out a way to cut and paste it into future documentaries.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, it's an entertaining watch if you're not if you're someone that's not very familiar with wrestling or a lapsed wrestling fan. It goes by pretty fast. It doesn't drag. It's well produced. You know, the hardcore Vince haters, I think, are going to be disappointed that more stuff wasn't included. Probably, I felt like they covered the big stuff. People that are for Vince, you know, I ultimately, when I left the docuseries, I thought it was negative on Vince. I thought overall, because the bad stuff about Vince was way worse, and the way they kind of spliced it together with stuff that, you know, other stuff that he said. There was one point when he's like, there's three computers in my head, and, you know, one is, you know, telling me to do one thing, one's telling me to say the other thing, and they're like, well, what's the third thinking about? And he's like, sex. And then kind of cut to, you know, these scandals. So I felt like ultimately it made Vince look bad, but
sure,
I didn't think it was unfair.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to...
And this was something I wanted to bring up. Jimmy MT at 91 noting that Eric Bischoff says he wasn't interviewed specifically for those. I heard that. Eric Bischoff on his podcast on 83 Weeks said he was never interviewed for the Netflix doc. He said he was asked to and he turned it down. I couldn't tell if maybe he forgot because it was so long ago that they started this, that maybe he did it and they forgot, or they just repurposed old interviews. Because again, that the setting that Bischoff was in was the same that you've seen in other documentaries. And granted, it's probably his home, but I'm saying exactly the same. Like, it same clothes and everything, to where it looks like they just used other interview footage as opposed to their own interview.
I mean, I feel like that's what they do. I feel like they send a producer out there and they say, we need 6 hours of your time, and we're just going to rattle off names, events, ideas, and just give us sound bites.
Yeah.
You know, it's silly almost. Ben the Tank.
No, Dave Meltzer got all excited that Hulk Hogan admitted that, you know, he had, ratted Jesse Ventura out over the union thing, you know,
because
Ventura was trying to unionize and Hulk Hogan went ratted Jesse out to Vince. Vince was threatened to fire Jesse and the whole thing was nipped in the bud. But Hulk Hogan has admitted that in the past. There was an interview with Chris Van Vliet last year where Hogan was saying, yeah, I was making a ton of money. We're just getting hot. I went to Vince and ratted him out. So that's actually been out there. That wasn't something new that came out with this documentary.
Yeah, and I get that. I didn't. And Hogan was being Hogan. There was nothing really surprising there. It was actually, you know what I popped for the most? Sorry, everybody in WWE putting over Cyndi Lauper. There. That was the thing. And it's like, again, not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
The one that I was like, when you were talking about how your attention span started drifting, for me, it was the screw job. I've just seen that so many times, so many documentaries on the screw job. And
yeah.
Just when they started talking, I was like, oh, God. And there was literally nothing new. I think the only thing new I saw was you saw Bruce Pritchard's reaction in real time when the screw job happened, because he didn't know ahead of time that was happening.
Yeah.
Outside of that, just the same stories. And they didn't mention that Brett had creative control. But I think, again, to a non-fan that's probably going to be watching this thing, it doesn't matter anyway. It's basically an actor saying, you know, it's Hugh Jackman saying he refuses to lose to Ryan Reynolds in a movie, whether it's in his contract that he can or not. It just, regardless of if they had heat, and obviously I'm making all this up, they get along great, but you know, it doesn't make a difference that they left that out, I think, to the majority of the people that will be watching it.
Yeah, I agree.
And real quick, Justin Lopez pointing out that Bischoff said yesterday that he was 90% sure he didn't do those interviews, but could be wrong. And that's what I was saying, because Bischoff does, you know, he's done a lot of interviews for a lot of different documentaries, and this was so long ago. I could easily see that perhaps he was interviewed and he forgot about it.
Yeah. Super chat, Ben the Tank wants to know, do you think Shane McMahon will go to AEW?
Did you see that photo with him and the Young Bucks this morning?
I mean,
man, if you want to meet Shane McMahon, go to an airport. Apparently, that's the place, best place to catch him. I think if he was going to AEW, he wouldn't be posting photos with AEW talent. They'd want that to be a big surprise. Like Mercedes, she's coming in, she's not going to be posting photos with AEW stars. So,
well,
I don't see it. I think it would be a 2-week thing where it'd be a huge, you know, it'd get a huge reaction. People online would be going crazy. And then it just kind of fade away. I mean, how many of the people have they brought in other than CM Punk since CM Punk have really had a lasting, a lasting impression after a couple of weeks?
Yeah. And MVP debuting last night, it'll be interesting to see if that's, he's going to bring along some friends.
I've got to think he's bringing in Lashley and Shelton.
Yeah. We'll see. It's exciting though. Never a dull moment.
It's cool. I mean, I'm a big fan of MVP. I always felt like he was kind of, because when he was with the Hurt Business, when he was getting that chance, I thought he was just killing it. And then he would just, you know, he'd have these ups and downs where then all of a sudden he's just kind of like not on TV anymore.
Sean asks, I don't know if you're following this on NXT, but do both Ethan Page and Roxanne lose on Tuesday? My prediction is Ethan Page loses to Trick. But Roxanne, I think, is retaining that title. And I think we're going to see Stephanie mix it up with Julia and Roxanne interfere in that match and allow Roxanne to retain.
Yeah.
CW
about, regarding Shane.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be, I haven't watched NXT in a few weeks, but I'm going to be watching that this Tuesday. I'm really, anxious to see, or excited to see, you know, what changes they make on CW and doing a live event thing. the Chicago one is doing well as far as ticket sales go. The St. Louis one, they moved it down to a smaller arena because it wasn't doing as well. So this obviously is not going to be a weekly thing anytime soon. But I do think, you know, PLE weekends or big weekends or where they have a huge Raw, that you could do NXT from like a smaller location in that area.
I think destination travel, as we're seeing today, I mean, we didn't talk about this, SummerSlam, two nights, New Jersey. I think WWE is realizing that stateside, if they're not doing international PLEs, making it destinations, they can get more money out of each fan. So bundling that in with two-night SummerSlam, followed by Raw, followed by an NXT, with the SmackDown the Friday before, you got five-day events. That's a lot of cash for WWE to rake in. A lot of cash they bring to cities. They're going to make more money from cities the longer they can get people to stay there. Like, I think that's the future of the domestic PLE business.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, NXT has been on a bit of a roll, but, you know, selling tickets is a lot more challenging right now. We're seeing that with AEW. They're having a harder time. They managed to cross 8,000 for Grand Slam last night, but that's down from 11,000. And then obviously down from the 20 plus thousand that they had for the first one. And we'll talk about the ratings for it here in a sec. But, you know, it's not tough for WWE right now. They've been doing great. But, you know, outside of that, it can be a tough business. Real quick, I wanted to... Yeah. Because we're talking about Shane McMahon and the documentary, and this kind of fits in both. Stellar Justin Lopez pointing out, they made Shane look like a tragic victim of the McMahon family in the documentary. From a business perspective, Vince never viewed him in the same regard as he held for Stephanie and Triple H. And the Donquistador NFFC with the similar post saying, one of the biggest takeaways I had from the whole series is sadness for Shane. Spent his whole life searching for acceptance from a soulless sociopath. And they definitely do kind of play that up, that Shane was just looking for that hug and that acceptance. And he got it after WrestleMania 32, after his Hell in a Cell with Undertaker. I thought Shane and Stephanie both came across really well in this documentary. And it's kind of wild that for decades, it was like, who's taking over? Who's next in line? Yeah. The succession. And then neither are officially involved with the company today.
I'm telling you, that's why Shane and AEW could be so good if they did it right. Like, yes, I agree with you, the pop will be short term, but this could actually really pay off and do something exceptionally impressive on a meta level with storytelling.
Well, I think especially if they're going to add another show, if they drop Rampage and they're adding Shockwave, what's to say that Shockwave doesn't become another Collision or Rampage, you know, where it's doing half the audience, or even, you know, it just becomes a B or a C show. But if you were to do kind of a split of the rosters and you had Shane McMahon kind of in charge of one, you know, like they did when he was with SmackDown, you know, for a while. And then at least that show has its own identity, because right now Collision just feels like the B show. It doesn't have its identity since CM Punk left. And at least then it would go back to having an identity. It'd be a way to spark things up. So if you bring in Shane McMahon, you got this new Shockwave show coming up. That's how I do it. I'd have Shane on that show being some sort of figurehead. I don't think you want to use the term GM, because that's a very WWE thing as far as wrestling goes. Obviously, GM is used everywhere else. But, you know, come up with a different title and have it, do it that way.
And I'm telling you, they could do a good, they could make it look like long-term storytelling with all the WWE guys who came over, that this was Shane doing his own little invasion of AEW.
They could. I mean, you'd have to, it's almost like you need someone like a Paul Heyman or someone to really make a story like that work. I don't really know if Tony Khan can pull a story like that off.
I don't know.
No, we'll see, especially because a lot of those old WWE guys have been there for so long.
I know.
It's going to be hard to buy.
Long-term storytelling, Raj.
There you go.
Long-term storytelling. I think they could pull this out, but talk to me about the ratings. What's going on?
Nothing. Just as we were going on the air, the AEW Dynamite ratings came out. So Grand Slam, you know, the biggest Dynamite of the year, technically, did 702,000 viewers and a 0.23 18 to 49 rating. So It was down 29% from last year's Grand Slam, down 29% in viewers from last year's Grand Slam, down 36% in 18 to 49. It was up slightly from the week before, so not a big increase from last week. They were up against a Caitlin Clark game on ESPN. It did like 2.5 million viewers. Again, it's good, but I don't think that's going to have that big of an effect on the ratings. It might have some. So, it just hasn't proven to have a big effect in the past. So just that's kind of where they're at. 700,000 is their high, kind of their high mark that they hit that or get over. That's a good week. Low point twos, if they're able to get over a 0.25, that's considered really good, but most weeks it's 0.21, 0.22, 0.23. So
what do you think happens with WNBA ratings now that Caitlin Clark and the Fever have been knocked out of the WNBA playoffs?
I think they go down. I mean, she's the Ronda Rousey, the Hulk Hogan WNBA, like she makes that difference. So those ratings are going to go down.
Yeah, it's tough. I went to the Aces first game in the semifinals against the Seattle Storm last weekend. Packed arena, great energy. Aces won. They're going up against New York. I thought it was going to come down to New York or Vegas versus the Fever in the finals. It is a little less exciting now with Caitlin out.
Yeah. She's a superstar.
Although Asia Wilson, man. Asia Wilson, Michael Jordan in the WNBA. She's crushing it. MVP like third year in a row. Mm-hmm. Of the entire league MVP, not the team, the league. Aces are on fire, man. They're a great team to watch. Happy to support them. But yeah, I think to Prince Ali Rogers, I think the Aces might three-peat, but New York's gonna be tough. New York's number one ranked, Aces are number four, and they were in the finals against each other last year. So this is gonna be a tough best of five that they're coming up against starting Sunday.
I don't really, for me, it's tough because I have no time as it is right now, even with the, and so it's like, I haven't watched much WNBA. I've watched a couple of Caitlin Clark games, but I just don't know any of the teams. It's like college football. I don't know any of the schools that are in it. And just when I start watching it, it's like so much to learn. I was like, forget it.
It's very similar to basketball. But I bought NBA 2K25. See, they didn't advertise this enough. There's an entire WNBA mode. In NBA 2K25, there's a dynasty mode. There's all the teams, all the players. Like, I got deep with that, built a great Aces roster and played it through. We enjoy watching the Aces. I mean, they're just, dude, like, they are so in sync with each other. You can see why they're back-to-back champs. It's great. Ebony's saying, WrestleMania 41. So I mentioned this, I'm going to be on the strip the entire WrestleMania week. The second they announced that, before the hotels knew, I booked out a room, a decent room, like a mini suite, because my hope, Raj, is that we're going to be able to get a broadcasting set up. And what I want to do, I'm talking about this for the first time, we could do it on Gigantic Pop. I want to kind of have a gathering every night, maybe in the afternoons every night, but I want to have a broadcast space set up where we can have me, you, Matt, we can have fans of the show come in, we can have our other wrestling journalist friends, we can have wrestlers come in, and just have this setup ready to go so we can just talk about the latest happenings all of WrestleMania week.
That'd be cool. I'm looking forward to it. I just got to figure out, if my kids are going to come. We were at Raw, we had front row seats at Raw a few weeks ago, and they had an awesome time. They loved it. So I could see them, wanting to go to WrestleMania, especially if The Rock's wrestling. They love The Rock. He's their favorite. Definitely. I'm down to be doing stuff. So
it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. Connecticut to Jonathan's. Connecticut is a dark horse. Connecticut took out the Fever. That's a big deal. It's interesting. And then my beloved professional women's volleyball starts up again in January. So going to get Vegas Thrill season tickets this year. Going to be good. Volleyball is exciting, dude. Volleyball, like tennis meets basketball. Just constant action going back and forth. But things are good. Things are good out here in Vegas. Had my father out last weekend, so we went to the Aces game. And then I went and saw Carrot Top for a second time because I got free tickets.
Twice.
It was like a quarter of it was different. than the last time I saw him. But he is surprisingly funny and surprisingly angry, which makes him funnier, in my opinion.
He cut his hair, right? He doesn't have the big mop anymore.
No, he's got like weird dreadlocks now. He looks just sort of, he looks kind of like a redheaded version of the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz. Like, it's weird what he's got going on. But he was funny. It was good.
Yeah.
It was nice. I always enjoy going out and about in Vegas. Saw Andrew Schultz 2 weeks ago. That was a really good show. And yeah, you know, it's always something happening here. Exciting place to live.
Sweet.
Cool. Well, do we have anything else today?
So Wardlow, we haven't seen Wardlow since Samoa Joe beat him at Big Business earlier this year by referee's decision. He's been out ever since. According to Matt Taven during a podcast appearance, he's been out with a knee injury. Didn't say when he got it, what's going on with it. And this is one of those cases where, man, you do an injury angle or something so it doesn't just look like you just forgot about him again. Because you see, like, Wardlow get hot and then it's just forgotten about. Gets hot again, forgotten about. Yeah. And every time they start to get him hot again, it's less than the previous time. Mm. And it just, I just feel like they've dropped the ball on him a bunch of times. And I'd like to, if he's out with an injury, do an injury angle, do something, you know, now it's too late, but having doing something that you have a storyline reason for him to come back and you could do videos of his recovery and everything. Cause they had so much invested in him with that MJF storyline, building him up. And you know, everyone was thinking Batista with Triple H when they saw that storyline. Mm-hmm. And now here we are years later and it was a fart in church.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. I think, I mean, starts and stops are always tough with anyone, right? It's like, and I feel like that's a growing list in wrestling. I feel like half the talent in any roster that either company cares about using has that problem. You know, they'll get half of an idea, start booking them, get bored with it. Something happens. And then, it's back to, they're starting from negative one the next time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It happens way more often than needs to.
Yeah. It's tough. Anyhow,
let's see. Jim is asking if he missed the Malakai Black news. We did cover it at the beginning of the show. One thing I did here too with the Malakai Black stuff that I didn't mention earlier. I actually made a note of it. One second. There were some reports that that Malakai Black and the House of Black would refuse to lose. And I was told that after one of those reports came out that they refused to lose. The next day, the House of Black walked into Tony Khan's office and said, "We won't job anymore, Tony Khan." They all just busted out laughing because it was pretty absurd. So, you know, I'm hearing a lot of the stuff with some of the issues with House of Black were not necessarily real. Maybe, you know, when you get locker rooms, a lot of people like to spread info to, you know, getting their side out to certain outlets.
Sure. How much did you have to deal with that in all your wrestling ink years?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. Yeah.
That's why you need two sources.
That's, yeah, exactly.
And they can't both be in the House of Black or else that's
only right. Yeah, right. No, I mean, for me, I mean, with this, I first heard about this a couple of days ago and it's taken me a couple of days to get a second source, but I did, so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope Matt Morgan and everyone in Florida is doing well. We'll be back. Who knows? Maybe we'll have another check-in about the Vince doc, Matt's schedule permitting.
Yeah, maybe we could do a special one about the Vince doc before next week. And then next week, we get Bad Blood is a week from Saturday, right? So we can preview that next week. Okay. And talk about NXT, you know, after next week. Because next week's going to be a busy week. First NXT on CW.
Going up against the VP Ross debate.
Oh, that's
watch
right.
That vice presidential debate.
You know, it's really smart. I mean, it's unfortunate that NXT got stuck with that. But what's really smart with the Saturday night's main event is that they're doing it on a night with no football competition. There's no college football games that night. So
there you go. Well, everybody, follow Raj Geary at The Raj Geary on Twitter. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Be sure to like, share, subscribe. Hey, we appreciate it. Leave a comment. Give us a like. Definitely helps with the algorithms. And we will catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.